Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. Monday evening, Edwin is with me again. Hello, Edwin. How are you going?
I'm doing well, Martin. I've been relegated to another corner of the buildings because Dusty keeps on spreading her little paws and Evan's now taken over the studio again. So I got kicked out. I'm in another corner of the property at the moment. So as you can see.
Yeah, very good. Well, you've got the, is it the eagle in the background?
Yes, the eagle has landed, Martin.
Yeah, very good. Well, I'm pleased to report that my voice is now back to normal. I had a bit of fun last week, as you know, with the sort of a fluey coldy thing, but we're back to normal. And there's a lot to talk about, Edwin. I thought one interesting way to get into this would just be to look at the latest stuff that came out of Westpac. You know, Westpac just announced their results, which were very strong. The margins up, loan growth is up. But I actually thought that this was actually the most telling part of the story. And if you look down the list there, they showed the split of lending to investment property lending at 31% and first home buying at 8.4%. Right. So this shows you that the banks are actually chasing property investors. Now, you and I have spoken about this already, Edwin, previously, about the importance of the property investment community. And, you and I can probably make some wages as to the types of people who've been buying.
Can I say that if you were to get the internal data, can I be cheeky and say that the investors that have bought, the majority would end in Ling, Wing, Wang and Ming? Am I allowed to say that?
Oh, I think you can probably suggest. Yeah, I mean, we know that there have been particular types of people who've been buying particularly investment properties. And interestingly, in my surveys, I'm seeing quite a few of those people who have bought the investment properties that other people have sold. So there's actually a transference in the investment property portfolio, right? And there are people who are effectively looking at them. And of course, going back to our earlier conversation about, well, if you actually get that investment property and then if you restructure it so that you can actually make those individual rooms into lettable entities, you can create a lot more revenue. And I'm afraid that I think this is another manifestation of that same story.
Well, that's right. And see, this is what we said earlier in the year, that when the WeChat chatters were calling the first wave of buying the bottom of the market, as they said, was February, they called it last year, middle to last quarter of 22. Then they said to get in at the end of February, March, and they did. They came in droves, and we started seeing the rises and we started seeing it a lot earlier than obviously the mainstream media started reporting it because of a number of factors. And one of the things that was influencing a lot of this was the low volumes on market. But we also said that there was going to be a panic sellers, which were going to be the older generation that held investment properties because they wanted to get out quick. They bought in the 60s, 70s and 80s, and they wanted to get out because it was becoming too cumbersome, too hard, too difficult, too costly to maintain them. So a lot of those properties started coming on the market, as you're even in your surveys you were reporting that as well. There was a lot of shift, and we said this is where people are going to start snapping up properties, but that required a fair bit of work. And as the numbers kept on dropping, things started going upwards in terms of prices. Then the WeChat chatter is called the second wave because there was a change and a shift from that we were speaking about for almost 18 months, the change and the shift in their minds and in their appetite for a type of class of investment. Stocks were out, crypto was out, they weren't going to go anywhere near the hospitality, the restaurants or ownership of restaurants and or retail or convenience stores, because they're predominantly the mums and dads that bought them up here and put them through a higher education, they could see the struggles and the pain that they were going to go through. And given the fact that the cost of running that was just not the return wasn't paying them enough in terms of what they could gain potentially through property, and they went in. So they've also called the third wave that we know about, and they're starting to come in, which we've been reporting. So yeah, look, it doesn't surprise me. And then on top of that, from the middle of the year, we also got the sleeping tigers that started to arise as well. You know, the Indian community, because they themselves do operate, and because of the immigration numbers that are coming in from India and that part of the world, which again we said there was, watch this space when our mate Don Perrottet went over there, and we knew that there was going to be a surge of migrants coming in from that part of the world, particularly to New South Wales. So here we are, and it's those communities that gravitate towards the budget accommodation that you and I've been speaking about for a while. So of course that's going to influence the market, and they're the ones that are going to come in. The poor bastards that get left on the side are the first-time buyers, the local first-time buyers, the Aussies that don't have the support of mum and dad. They don't come into a second generation wealth. They don't have new money from relatives overseas that are experiencing the boom, whether it be in Vietnam, the new golden era of Vietnam or China or anywhere else for that matter. It's the local battlers that just want a safe haven, a roof over their heads, and the young families. They're the ones that have missed out. And but then we said that they would, and they have, and they will continue to miss out. And we've been calling that since 2019.
Absolutely. And just on the migration question, there was another interesting statistic which I saw today, and it's this one. This is looking at the retail trade growth. And what's interesting is that if you actually break it out, the top line number, the total the total amount that has been sold has gone up. But when you look at it, it's actually not necessarily been driven by the average Australian buying more stuff. And in fact, the retail volume per capita is down. And in fact, the retail trade growth was driven by inflation, in other words, the contribution to higher prices, plus the contribution of population growth. So this is once again another indicator that in fact all is not well below the top line number. And of course we've been arguing that one of the reasons why migration is so strong is because they're trying to pump the GDP number, the top line number. But on a per capita basis, going backwards, on a per capita basis, it's going backwards. And if you put all of this together, I guess then, Edwin, the question is, Melbourne Cup Day, but also rate call tomorrow. Where are you sitting at the moment?
Well, I tell you what. What's going to happen is we're walking into a revolution. That's one thing for sure. Apart from the fights that are going to happen at the as people get into a drunken stupor on the horse tracks that the mainstream media usually post the horse races. Look, I'm sitting on the fence on this one. For me, it's I'm of the opinion. My personal opinion is that even if there is a rate rise, I'm questioning and looking deeper into as to who's buying, right? Which we're going to unpack a little bit more later on in the rain. But look, Dusty says that there won't be a rate rise. Dusty tends to believe that there won't be because the polling numbers for the Albo and Co real estate, are really low. So they don't want to upset that too much. So she believes that there's going to be a political, pulling of the string there. She could be right. So she says no rate rise. Evan on the other hand says, let's go 25 points tomorrow. But as I said, I'm just sitting on the fence. To me, whether it goes up or whether it doesn't, if it doesn't, obviously it's going to be a bit more FOMO. But even if he does, I think to quench the current FOMO, as I've been saying for a long time now, is we really need another minimum, 5,000 to 8,000 numbers on market, for sale listings on market in Sydney to quench the Sydney market, because it's there's a lot happening out there, which is almost pulling away from the Melbourne market, and which we're going to talk about a little bit more later on as well.
Absolutely. Well, the latest that I saw was that there's a 7% chance from the markets of a rate rise. Westpac is 80%, I noticed. There are some other people who are sort of questioning it. I guess my perspective is that the inflation rate is going up rather than down in Australia. The rate at 4.1% is lower than other central banks around the place. So I'm probably on the side of suggesting they will rise. And in fact, there are some people suggesting they should raise rates in November and in December, because we're off the pace. Well, we'll watch with interest. But the bulk of the damage is done. And interesting that Westpac said that the number of hardship cases are roughly half where they were through the peak of COVID. So they are seeing some uptick in terms of issues, but not dramatic as yet. And, I've said consistently, Edwin, it takes time for this to work through, so we'll see. But you mentioned Melbourne. It's quite interesting, actually, isn't it? Looking at the Melbourne numbers, something's happened over the last week or so.
Well, that's right, and we spoke about it last week, and we said that watch this space, because the WeChat chatters, there was a lot of chatter, and this is the WeChat groups that does monitors the investment groups. Very big investment groups, across the Chinese community here in Australia, and they are big, they are vital. They have, I'm of the opinion that they've influenced a lot of markets in Sydney. They will continue to influence the markets moving forward. But the interesting thing was last week we said that the call on the platform across the majority of the groups that Dusty monitors on WeChat was sell, sell, sell. And that was only as early as, and we said, watch this space, right? We said, watch this space to see what happens. And it was sell any investment in Melbourne because of the stupid state government policies that have been implemented, the taxes that they were putting in. And look, it's when they are a very interesting groups. The way they move, it's very peculiar. But I'm of the opinion that the reason why we're seeing a lot of these numbers is because of the rise is because a lot of the people, a lot of the investors here in Sydney are just basically offloading because of the regulations, the new legislation. And let's not forget that the minimum standard for rental properties really hasn't kicked in. They've still got a little bit of a caveat, a little bit of time to sort their shit out. But it's happening, and look, it's to the point that even some of the other investors that I know that have got investment properties in Melbourne have reached out to me in the last week or two as well, and because of what I've been posting on Twitter as well, and they've asked me and they've said, look, what do you think? And they've been telling me that the extra costs that they've been burdened with and are going to continue to be burdened with and added to moving forward. So when you've got a large group of investors basically calling it quits, well, it was interesting. I think that, look, I'm of the opinion that that's one of the main reasons investors are just simply pulling out. It's going to be interesting to see moving forward, because the numbers on market in Melbourne are almost double the numbers on market in Sydney. So it's a watch this space moving forward.
Absolutely. And another area where we should be watching the space is the defective building story. I was talking to somebody the other day who actually has got a major issue with a couple of apartments that they own. They bought them actually about Now, about 10 years ago, 12 years ago. So, you know, this isn't brand new construction, but what they're finding is that these high-rise units are now highly defective, and the strata fees have gone through the roof. And now there's a debate, a discussion about to what extent they can actually fix these up. And I think this is a bit of a harbinger of significant issues with regard to some of that construction that happened over the last couple of decades, with poor quality construction, poor compliance to standards and things. I think we're going to see much more of this.
Well, we are, and this is something that's going to be, again, something that I posted on Twitter, and, you know, this is something that I've been calling out since the early 2000s with regard to the shoddy construction. What we've got now, Martin, is we have already walked into what I believe to be the biggest property shortage that Australia has has ever felt and is going to feel. Now, on that, you know, open the floodgates, they said. She'll be right. We can cope with the new the amount of people that are coming into the country, and besides that, we're going to bring in more people to build, right? So this is the fallacy that this is what the governments believe, that they're going to be bringing in more people in order to help build that, you know, for the housing shortfalls that we've got. And somebody really needs to tap them on the shoulder and explain to them the simple fact that the people that are coming don't want to work in construction. It's just as simple as that. But yeah, if I ever meet Albo on the street again over at Epping or those areas there where I took a video of him as he was trying to win the Asian community vote. If I ever, I'll tap him on the shoulder and explain to him a few things with regards to that. But look, they also told us, the government told us, that if we vote for them, they're gonna build 1.2 million dwellings, and we've seen how the shortfalls in that as well, right? And then now we've basically, from decades ago, as you mentioned, they deregulated the industry, and because anybody can get a license, and anybody can build, and this is where we are. So we've literally now starting to feel the pinch of what I call the biggest property shortage that we're ever going to feel, and that is all these high-rise developments, the ones that I've sent to you, your old stomping ground, Wollongong, and the issues that they've got, others that we've spoken about in previous podcasts with regards to the commissioner, basically saying that there's 40 to 50% of the apartments are that close or nearing close to be condemned. It should not be inhabited. I mean, this is the stuff that things are only just are continuing to get worse. On top of that, you've got a lot of owners corporations, strata schemes and owners corporations that are not meeting the 10-year plan in order to maintain a healthy sinking fund to maintain the upkeep of the apartments, and they're in a lot of strife. You could technically say that a lot of owners corporations are, in theory, trading insolvent, because this is what it is. These are owners corporations that sooner than later, they're not going to have enough funds, they're not going to have the funds, and so many people are in the red with strata levies that the only recourse that the stratas and the owners corporation have is to follow them through the courts. And that's a costly exercise, and try and get the money out of the individual if they're overseas, or then of course then you've got to follow it through the high court, and you've got to pursue a court mandate to basically sell under instructions from the receiver and liquidate the individual. Now that takes time, Martin. In the meantime, we've got a lot of derelict departments. We've got a lot of stop work orders on buildings. We've got a lot of make good orders on buildings and that are currently that still haven't been finished or have just started or halfway through or three quarters of the way through. So we've got all this at the forefront, but people have forgotten the ones that your Opal Towers, your Mascot Towers, more to the point because of the era that was built in, and they're the developments that I'm talking about, the ones that of the Mascot Tower era, your 2005, 2007 onwards, more to the point, and these are the ones that are coming to the use by date prematurely. So builders are going broke. The HIAs said it themselves that 50% or almost 50% of the construction industry, and that's first and second tier builders predominantly, are trading insolvent. We've seen a lot of small development companies and construction companies go bust, which take out a lot of the smaller crews and subcontractors. So it's a huge mess. We can't build quick enough. Approvals are down by something like 17 or 23% over the last quarter or year on year. So it's staggering. So this is why I say what I say, Martin, is that we're headed to a revolution, because sooner than later the younger population are the ones that are going to have an uprise, because I mean, what have they got? Tent cities are on the rise. Caravan parks are maxed out. You just can't build things, even if you were to have the prefabricated homes or container homes or whatever you want to do, or shoe boxes, put them together and you're sleeping in them or whatever. You can't build them quick enough to keep up with the demand.
Absolutely. Well, you actually made a post specifically on this property shortage question, and it is actually worth reading the thread, because you make a couple of interesting points. The one I think is most fascinating is this bifurcation between houses and apartments. And, you know, it's like two worlds, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You and I have been asking the governments of all persuasions to tell us what is the meaning, what do they mean by housing? What is it they mean? Is it freestanding homes? Because, or is it shoeboxes up in the sky? This is something that, and we're going to get a, look, well, what we're seeing on the ground, obviously, in Sydney, in the Sydney markets, is the housing prices are just going through the roof. And in some areas of Sydney, they're on turbocharge. Whereas in some parts of Sydney, you're seeing stagnant prices, and in a lot of cases, a lot of areas in the west, you've seen apartment prices have actually gone back to what they got bought off the plan in 2017, 2018. But sooner than later, people are going to have to make a decision, because nothing else is being built. I feel that they're going to be forced, and they are being forced to an extent already, to buy into these shoddy developments, and all because they want that security, like you and I've been speaking about, as to what the general buyer wants. They want security, longevity, somewhere where they can come home, rest their heads on a pillow or on the lounge, wherever, and just feel safe, feel comfortable, feel like it's theirs, and they're not going to get turfed out. Because what are the options? What are the options? There is no security rentals, and things are only going to get worse in that area than before they get better.
Yeah, and you did actually pose a very important question. So, who is buying? And the fact is that we know that there are some people who are able to buy, thanks perhaps because of the fact they're getting money from the bank of mum and dad, or other things. But there are a lot of people who are really caught. And in the tweet that you've got up here, you make the point you're actually pretty much damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Look, and that's a sad truth, right? Regardless of whether they call us bears or bulls or tigers or whatever they want to call us, at the end of the day, the numbers don't lie, and this is what's happening out there, and this is just a reflection of what we see on the ground, and try to bring to the attention of our followers and viewers, before the mainstream media pick up, or by the time they watch our shows, it usually takes them about anywhere between 3 to 8 weeks to put out a news bulletin to inform the rest of the world. But look, this is what's happening out there, and the people that are, and this is what why I asked the question: who is buying? So this is what I said earlier on in the conversation. Was look, I'm on the sideline on with regard to this rate rise. Because in my opinion, and in the markets that I am personally, the rest of the team may be in other markets, but in my personal clients, and in the markets that I'm pursuing and I'm looking at very, very carefully at the moment, the people that are buying any of these markets are buying either with 30-40% deposits with very, very low LVRs, or they've got cash in the bank ready to buy, and we are competing with a lot of inquiry and a lot of buyers that are in like position. So the most of my personal clients sit between your 1.5 bracket right up to 5 million. That's my personal clients. I mean, the rest of the team, I mean, I've got others below the million as well. And the rest of the team mainly sit between your 900 and your 1.2, your first-time buyers. But there's a lot of competition out there, Martin, still. And as I said, I don't think that 25 basis points is going to put a lot of dent. It's going to put a lot of the local... It's going to sideline a lot of local buyers, and as we shared earlier on before the rant, it's going to affect those that are sitting on mortgages that got conned in by the government to buy, and as I put out a tweet over the weekend that's what we've been saying. They've got issues in Melbourne because people that want to do that bought in with under those government. Government grants or as I call them, the JV joint venture agreements with the government. Now they can't renovate. They can't renovate without permission. They can't sell without permission because not that by selling is going to cover the upside that the government wants from their 25%, and they can't fart without permission either. So damned if you do, damned if you don't. And unfortunately, the ones that are worst off are the local Aussies.
Unfortunately, that's true. And just to round that out, one of the other points I made in this insurance question has come up again. I've had several people this week write to me and basically say horrified about how much their insurance premium on the property has actually gone up in the last year. You know, in some cases, we're talking 20 or 30 or even 40%. But I had somebody today say, we are now uninsurable. So they're actually in an area that where there are some flood risks. And, they always paid a bit more because of the flood risk. But now their insurance companies basically come back and say, we're not going to insure you. We can't insure you in that area. And so this whole area question of prone areas, fire or flood, or if you can get insurance, what you have to pay is another factor that many prospective purchasers are not actually wiring in when they think about buying a property.
Well, that's right. And then the other thing that a lot of people haven't considered outside of that, just as we can, like you said, round it off, is also they haven't really considered the fly parts. As the airlines are coming back on, coming back on deck, and you're going to get a lot of changes in the fly parts and moving forward also. From the Badgers Creek Airport, you're going to get a lot of that's something that a lot of people haven't considered as well, haven't taken a lot of consideration into. But the other in relation to insurances, you've got a number of LGAs that have remapped the flood affected areas. Yeah, they've gone from perhaps one in 100 to 1 in 50. That happened in Blacktown, and it basically wiped out almost 2/3 of Blacktown. And it really is caveat emptor, and really make sure that you're buying somewhere where it hasn't been re-gazetted under a new flood area. Presently, we've got the Shire that's put a big mail out to a lot of areas in the Shire as to they're going to be reclassifying a lot of the Shire into new flood areas as well. So yeah, look, and it doesn't help developments. And then you've got your Parramatta LGAs, as we shared a couple of months ago. We shared that Parramatta LGA have rezoned a lot of the areas to basically stop people from carving up good land envelopes into duplexes. And these are the areas that they're in most need of housing, apart from the fights and issues that they've got in the Northern Beaches and other parts where the NIMBYs are hold a very strong position in local governments. Look, Perrottet tried to take on the local LGAs, he failed. Menzies trying to take him on now, I think he's going to fail as well. The local LGAs are very strong, and quite frankly, I'd say dismantle the LGAs as far as I'm concerned. And we got too many bodies, too many levels of government telling us what to do, how to do it, and what not to do. And as I said, when to part, and how where to breathe and not breathe. I mean, it's crazy, but it's an industry. Because it is an industry, the political arena is an industry. It's an industry that hasn't gone backwards in wages. If anything, every young person should be aspiring to become a politician, because that is the future. That is a safe haven, and that's where you're going to get your returns. You're going to get your money. You're going to get steady regular income, and if you don't make it as high as the state or federal, look, there's a lot of space in the local government as well.
Yeah, big industry. One of the pussycats walked past. It was quite funny as well. Let's just look at the numbers then, Edwin, because there's not a lot to talk about really in terms of Sydney. So on the 30th, we had 17,478, and if we jump forward to the 6th. 17,514. So hardly any movement in the dial, really.
Yeah, and based on the mainstream beat-ups, the general consensus would be, that the number should be really climbing a lot higher, but they're not. Mm. As I said, I believe the turtle is going to stick its head back in the shell. And because of all the uncertainty in the Middle East and you're not hearing much about Ukraine and Russia anymore. So, but the Middle East is taken. It's really the Middle East is really what's happening there between Israel and Palestine is really taking really come home. It's really affecting the political spectrum here and the mainstream media here. So I think, Martin, it's going to be if we don't get a decent rising numbers over the next week or two, the turtle's going to put its head back in the shell, and it's going to be a wait until February because there's going to be the natural retraction in numbers now, the seasonal retraction in numbers, because over 2 weeks is more or less the maximum time that agents have got to sell properties, because don't forget, the conveyancers and solicitors go on holidays, and it takes 42 days to settle or to conclude a purchase. And if you take that time into account, it's typically when conveyancers and solicitors are taking a break from just before New Year's to the 14th of January. So there's not going to be a lot of activity. So a lot of people traditionally will take their properties off the market as well towards Christmas, again, because they'll also be preparing for the festivities and family get-togethers. Then on top of that, you've got your school holidays. So there's a number of things. So there will be a seasonal retraction in numbers. So if we don't see a rise, it's steady as she goes. It's deja vu 2022.
Absolutely. Well, let's look at Melbourne quickly. So the 30th of October, 25,499. And if we jump forward to the 6th of November, 26,142. So a little bit of a spike up, as we said earlier on.
Yeah, and this is it. This is almost 1,000 listings on market when we were getting consecutively, on average, about 330, 340 listings on market in Melbourne, because it was always ahead of Sydney. But now it's over a week's time. There's a lot more. There's a lot more staying on market post the weekend sales, and hence the reason why we take the numbers on Monday to see what's reflective at the same time to make it consistent. It'll be interesting to see what happens towards the end of this week. I'll post up some updates on my Twitter feed on Thursday, Friday. And see where those numbers are at, because that's when you get a lot of new listings come on market on Wednesday and Thursday. That's when the majority come on market of the new listings, the fresh new listings. But it's a watch this space for Victoria. But I'm convinced. I am convinced that it's that market is going. As I said last week, when the WeChat chatters say move, they move. And they move rapidly and quickly. Hence the reason why we pay very, very close attention to where the what type of property they're going to chase, what areas they're going to be targeting. Hence the reason why Dusty monitors those investor groups on WeChat very closely.
Yep. On the auctions, well, of course, Melbourne is a bit quiet, as you'd expect. And it was interesting that you see a couple of the mainstream articles were sort of claiming that there was a huge boom in auctions this last weekend, particularly in Sydney, you know, talking about records and things like that. But when you look closely, it's another story, isn't it?
Yeah, look, we keep on saying over and over again that you got to be careful in these markets. We've had to be extra careful since 2021, and because of the beat up, and you're always going to have your beat up on failed campaigns perhaps even a mortgagee sale or a bad story, a horror story. But you're also going to have more of a beat up on your successes. So the market's distorted. One property doesn't make, or a few properties don't make the market. This is why I laugh when I see how people get all excited about the mortgagee in possession sales that get posted up on Twitter without understanding or knowing the background of most of them. But look, it does create interest, it does create attention, and that's just what it is, right? And I think over the weekend we also had the block or something, and something happened there. I don't quite follow that show. I haven't followed that show, and there were some records broken, perhaps, I don't know. But it's just a beat up. To me, the main point is that there's a lot more properties being sold by private treaty under private treaty than there are sold by auction on the day. And it would be, we would follow it a lot closer if they were more true to the point and give us the figures across all those that were meant to be auctioned and not disclose the ones that weren't reported and so forth. So yeah, it's just one of those things to take up some of our time on the segment, Martin.
Fair enough. And the other thing, just to briefly touch on, are the rentals. So these are the Sydney rentals. On the 30th, we had 8656, and jumping forward to the 6th, went up slightly to 9,051. So there's a little bit of an uptick. although still well down from where it was. And if you actually look at the national story, on the 30th we had about 39,000, which of course is way down from where you would normally expect it to see nationally. And then this week on the 6th, 40,589. Actually, a couple of years ago, you'd have had 40,000 in Sydney, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, yeah, not as much. But look, going back to the Sydney region, you would have had those numbers across either the Blacktown LGA or the Parramatta LGA. And this is where, this is the gravity. This is why a lot of people, and this is why I don't like. I like to speak numbers rather than the percentages, because you lose a lot when you talk percentages. It's when you talk numbers and then you start talking about the, I mean, let's, you know, when you start talking numbers, you've got 40,589 properties for lease across India on the domain, across Australia on the domain platform. But how many hundreds of thousands of migrants? I think it's something like 12,000 migrants or thereabouts coming in each week, or perhaps even more. Of which that represents 2.7 for each household on average. So they're your numbers. So do the math and then start working out. As I said, things tend to quiet down a little bit. Things tend to mellow out a little bit towards the end of the year, because you get into the that seasonal mood of holidays. And you know, we could partake or put up with a lot of the bullshit around us, because we're all looking forward to the end of year and celebrations and everything like that. You know, to an extent, a lot of people use that as to zone out, perhaps is a better word. But unfortunately, you can zone out, but then reality hits you square in the jawbone in the first quarter of 2024.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's amazing how the year races by. I was just thinking to a year ago, I actually started looking seriously in the UK for summer to buy, and bought this property, of course, that I'm now in, and put my own property for sale in the Illawarra on the market directly after Christmas, and got a transaction there. In fact, I made a show the other day on the falls that we're seeing in some regional areas. So, you know, this story that everything's going back gangbusters is, again, not the full story. So in a number of regional areas, prices are still down from where they were last year and continuing to slide, not least because of the very significant shift in relative demand and supply and all of those things. But it shows you that the Christmas and New Year period is always, a soft and wobbly time. And as you say, a lot of people, take time out. And I think this year in particular, people will be taking a bit of time out. But on the prep for Christmas, your tip of the week is quite relevant.
Yeah, I was meant to ask you last week with regards to whether you're going to follow up on your surveys and ask people whether or not they were thinking of having garage sales. So this is along those lines. Given the fact that I got kicked out of the studio because we're also getting ready to occupy the main house now that all the renovations have been completed. So it's really, I guess with everything that's been going around, being talked about over the weekend, inflation, rate rises, the cost of living, what it really means with all that, potential rate rises, and even if there aren't any rate rises, the current cost of living for inflation and everything else is, I guess when you have to move from one premise to another, or from one household to one home to another, or whatever the case may be, and you have to get into the gut and get stuff out of storage, then you realize, shit, do I really need all this stuff? So I thought, you know what, my tip for the week is do your spring cleaning real quick, and start a garage sale and cash up for Christmas, and put that money away for next year, because there's so much uncertainty coming our way next year. And if you do hold garage sales, the other tip is try to get people to pay with small change, because as I read a blog over the weekend, some of those 2 cent coins and some of those 50 cent coins and 20 cent coins are worth thousands of dollars, Martin. So you never know. It's a win-win. You get rid of your shit, make some money, and on the one hand, and whatever money you pick up could be even worth hundreds, if not thousands, more if you get the right coins.
Yeah, a bit of a lucky dip there, I suspect, but we'll see. But certainly the whole idea of the occasional shipping out of stuff that you haven't used is actually quite a useful exercise. I was quite horrified when I actually went to clear the house in Illawarra. You know, we moved in nearly 30 years ago into Australia, and then we moved down to the Illawarra, 15 years ago, something like that. And we actually shifted boxes that we brought from the UK, put in the garage, and then moved it down to the Illawarra, and we're still in the same boxes. And I sort of thought, well, that's a bit of a clue, isn't it? If you haven't used the contents of those boxes in 30 years, you probably never are going to. So we had a big clear out. And actually, I must tell you, Edwin, that clearing stuff away and getting rid of all the rubbish, actually, it's quite a good feeling. You know, it's amazing how much space you've got when you've done that.
Yeah, and your wallet gets fatter.
Indeed. It's a win-win. Well, Edwin, thank you very much for that. And we'll hold our breath tomorrow with the race and with the other race with regard to the RBA. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And we'll look forward to picking up the conversation next week and seeing what the fallout is as we fall headlong into Christmas and the New Year.
Definitely. Looking forward to it, Martin. See you next week.
Yeah, see you. Take care. Bye-bye.